This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. Summer is upon us. For some of you, that means days at the beach, ball games in the park, fireworks, barbecues, a cold beer. But for me, dear listeners, it means one thing. Hours upon hours of reality television. For instance, my current favorite, ABC's The Bachelorette. Here, Caitlin bares her soul to Sean B., confessing that she had sex with Nick V. after their last date.
I'm trying to figure out why you're telling me this right now.
I just thought it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You have to talk to me through this.
Yeah, no, maybe I should take a minute to regroup, go to the bathroom, and come back.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Not really. First of all, I don't actually watch The Bachelorette. Secondly, I've encountered more compelling drama on the back of cereal boxes. But if you listen to the music, you would think that Caitlin's romp with Nick V before the fantasy suite was a betrayal on par with the selling of state secrets to the commies. And this kind of instructive scoring is not limited to The Bachelorette. Last year, former OTM producer Laura Mayer set out to uncover the widespread emotional manipulation of reality television music.
TV is where a lot of us first hear music.
So my first exposure to classical music was via Bugs Bunny cartoons on Saturday mornings. For better or for worse, it informed my whole life.
That's John Burlingame. He's a film and music television historian at the University of Southern California.
Music can help you understand where you are in terms of time and place. It can help propel the action along by speeding things up or slowing it down. But mostly, music and television is designed to elicit an emotional response from the viewer and listener.
We've all heard about television's current golden age. Breaking Bad, House of Cards, Mad Men. Prestige television that has helped elevate TV to the rank of high culture. Film music has long been analyzed by academics and cultural thinkers. Movie fans can probably name a few film composers off the top of their heads. Jerry Goldsmith, Hans Zimmer, Danny Elfman. But only a true TV obsessive can name even one prolific TV composer. David Carbonara composed the Mad Men theme, by the way.
When I wrote my first book, which was called TV's Biggest Hits, which was a history of music and television in 1996, I was the first to really discuss the history and the importance of a television theme and the importance of dramatic underscore.
While there are academic journals devoted to obscure things like packaging technology and experiments in fluids, there are no academic journals devoted to TV music, even though, if you're an average American, you're marinating in it. And many of us marinate in reality TV, and therefore reality TV music. Nielsen's top five broadcast programs each week regularly include more reality TV than sitcoms, drama, or news shows. Turn on your TV, open up your laptop, fire up that tablet, and you'll see reality television everywhere. You'll also hear it. You know, I must reveal myself here. I am a reality television aficionado.
My condolences.
Aside from the game-based shows, like Survivor or The Amazing Race, reality TV theme songs don't really matter. The focus is on the underscore that follows the characters and plays under almost every scene. The underscore serves an important narrative purpose. It creates storylines, sympathies, and the sense of reality itself in reality television. John Burlingame once wrote that television music is the soundtrack to our lives. The music from The Bachelor is the soundtrack to my life.
Will you marry me?
Yes, yes.
I tend to watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette with my wife on Monday nights. And it's a really painfully obvious manipulation of the audience when the music you're hearing is designed to suggest or move you in certain directions. if there's tension between, you know, the bachelorette and intestine A, you'll feel it predominantly because you're being manipulated emotionally by the music that's playing underneath.
I can't control my eyebrow. I cannot control my eyebrow. I can't control what's on my face 24/7. If I could walk around with a smile on 24/7, I would, but my face would get freaking tired.
Generally, the music used in reality television is licensed very inexpensively from music banks. Hence some of reality TV's familiar generic music for terror, humor, romance, or extra romance. The Bravo Network, with its slate of prestige reality television, is an exception to the rule of cheap, generic music cues. Aaron Kaplan has composed much of the underscores for Bravo, including Project Runway and The Real Housewives of New York, as well as A&E's Duck Dynasty. You know, prestige.
Each season presents different characters, there's new storylines, so therein lies the challenge. The process in a lot of cases involves sitting down in front of your computer and composing using a sequencer.
If you're leaning in right now, you're probably a fan of Top Chef. This is Kaplan's song, Channel Zero, which plays during the crucial judging portion of each episode. Channel Zero is the signal that tells viewers to stop folding laundry, look up from email, put down Candy Crush, and pay attention now.
People who are fans of those shows do perk up whenever, you know, they get their cue. I mean, it's Pavlovian in a way.
Richard Lawson wrote Gawker's TV recaps for years. He's now VanityFair.com's culture columnist and no longer covers reality TV for a living. But when I asked him to review some of his old Real Housewives of New York recaps, he couldn't help but get sucked back in, as when he recapped the scene when two former BFFs had an epic falling out.
There's a scene as the kind of downfall of Jill Zarin began on the Real Housewives of New York, where Bethany Frankel has left her voicemail. And the first thing Bethany says is, get a hobby.
When she said, find a hobby, it clicked in my head. Mm-hmm. Over. And right. I really, you know, made a deposit in that friendship bank. I feel like she cleaned out our bank account. Yeah.
The music is indicating support towards Jill. But if you actually pared that music away, the voicemail that Bethany left is perfectly reasonable. But because of the way it was edited and the way it was scored, it became this sort of triumphant turning point for Jill.
The fact that so many people, millions and millions of people, watch this drivel makes it important to really understand what brings us back.
John Burlingame.
And in some ways, it may be the music that is helping to make these shows successful by grounding it in some kind of emotional manipulation.
Drivel? Emotional manipulation? Those are some serious allegations. How do I feel about that? For On the Media, I'm Laura Mayer.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Kimmy Regler, Mira Sharma, Alana Casanova-Burgess, Jesse Brenneman, and Sam Dingman. We had more help from Maya Brownstein, and our show was edited this week by our executive producer, Katya Rogers. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Joe Plourd. Jim Schachter is WNYC's vice president for news. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.